today.
Today we will hear from Ruth and Luke. First from Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher for your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. And now from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My name's Kylie. I am so glad to be with you today. How many of you walked in and went, "I wonder what the blankets are about"? Okay, the blankets aren't that deep. I just thought, because some of you were like, "Are we like donating them to a shelter?" And I was like, that would have been a good idea. But mostly I thought, it's the Sunday before Christmas. We just need something nice. So that's all they are. They're just something nice. And also because the Larsons, especially Dax and I and our dog, Hash Brown, love a good blanket. We just love a good soft blanket. And I want church today, it has been my prayer, I've been praying for you, that today would feel like a deep breath, like a kindness, like you could relax today. That's my prayer. I also brought blankets because, yeah, cuddle up. I just saw someone cuddle up. They're for you to take, so you don't need to feel weird about getting your, like, hair on them or whatever. One of my very favorite parts about when I was a kid and having a parent, and now that I have a kid and being a parent, is reading books at night. Do any of you, any of the others of you in the room have sweet memories around bedtime stories? Oh, not many. Okay, well, today will be a day. My dad is a very complicated person, and we have a very complicated relationship. But one of the things about him that was just purely good is he told the best bedtime stories. He would make them up off the top of his head, and I remember them to this day. I'm 40 years old. And he would always read another chapter, always. And I've tried to make this a practice in my own parenting, because to me, there is something like a good story in a safe place and a soft blanket. Let's pray. God, you are a storyteller. You are. You're a storyteller who made a people who respond to story. And so today we tuck ourselves in. We rest in your kindness, in your safety. And we open ourselves up to hear from you, of your goodness, your kindness, your provision. This morning, we wrap ourselves up in this safe place. And we open ourselves up to the possibility that where we are and who we are and when we are is just exactly right. Amen. Are you storytelling cozy? Once upon a time, there was a census. Mary and Joseph are traveling at an inconvenient time to an inconvenient place to pay their taxes. It doesn't sound like the start of a very good story. I never thought about this until this year, but Mary and Joseph heard from God at the very beginning, before Jesus would even be, to say that Jesus was coming and they would be the family that would bring him into the world. But they don't hear from God again, at least in our written record, until after he's born. That's a long 9 months of silence. And as I got imagining this story, I thought, they've traveled all the way to Bethlehem, knowing that they are carrying God's son. They roll up to this inn, and there's no room. They go to this manger. She gives birth. She puts the Son of God that she has been entrusted with into a barn. She hasn't heard from God yet that the road that she's traveled to get there is the right road, that she's on the right track. And I have to imagine if Mary and Joseph are anything like me, anything like us, that they might be wondering as they reach Bethlehem if they've taken a wrong turn. Because surely, God, this wasn't your plan. Did we get off somewhere? Is this what you had in mind? I'm wondering, as we come to this space today, if you've ever experienced a moment like that in your own story. Maybe you're in one right now, where you're wondering, God, I thought you said this thing, but I'm wondering a little bit if I'm off track. Or God, I've just been doing my best, but I wish you would tell me, I wish you would come to me. I'm going to tell you a few stories from my own life today and from my family's life. And my son, his name is Dax, and he's awesome. He never wears shoes. That's how you'll know him. Does he have shoes on today? Nope, they're under the seat. Okay, that's how you'll know him. I'm going to tell a few stories from our lives, and Dax is involved in those stories. He's down in kids' church right now. What I would tell you all, as a way to love Dax, is this is my take on stories that involve him. So, you know, if you would do me and him the favor of not, like, going up to him and being like, tell me all about that, Dax. You know what I mean? He'd probably feel weirded out. We'll let Dax tell his own stories when he's, you know, however old he's up here telling you his own stories. This is my take, so I would love to talk to you more about it. Please don't talk to him more about it yet. Okay. So Dax is adopted, and I have so much of that story to share. It was hard. Phil and I were texting as I was writing this. It was hard to even pick which stories to tell you today. There's like so many amazing, beautiful, hard stories around adoption. But Dax is adopted, and the way that we found his birth mom was super cool. And one thing that we had wanted for our adoption was an open adoption. So we had wanted Dax to be able to know his birth family, to have contact with them. Like, that's just something we had decided we wanted. But his birth mom, for reasons that I respect and have no judgment for, and you better not either because she's amazing, decided that she wanted a closed adoption. And so we said, that's okay. That's okay. But we wanted her to go through our agency, and she was all about that. And we just told her, at any point, like at any point in Dax's life, we want you to know that the door is open. You can contact us. You can meet him. You can be with him. We can talk, like whatever. So she knew that. But at about a year in, so Dax is about 12 months old, Phil and I wrote a letter because we thought, maybe a year later, even if you knew the door was open, it would be hard to knock on it. You know what I mean? So we wrote a letter to give to our agency, to give to her, just saying, hey, absolutely no pressure. We know what you've chosen. We respect it. And just a reminder, like, we're here. He's here. He's open to you. And at that point, Phil and I were having like a weekly meeting. Well, we still do, but we met on Thursdays for soup. We always had soup. Where did we meet? It doesn't matter. And so we wrote this letter, and then every week, Phil would, like, check in with me, because it was in my hands. So he'd be like, did you send the letter to the agency yet? And I'd go, no, it's not. No, I didn't. It's not time. And every week, he'd ask me until about 18 months. At 18 months, I don't know. One day it was right. I sent it. The agency got back to us and they said, we can tell that she's opened the letter, but she hasn't responded. So must not be right for her right now. And we were like, that's cool. No problem. The reason I'm telling this story is because I think that parenting and really things that are very deeply important to us like that can often feel like you're just doing your best and you have no idea what you're doing. And when we got Dax, because he's adopted, because of certain things that part of our story and his story, it's like, it felt like such a gift from God. Like such a clear and direct gift. And you, so you get this thing, you're entrusted with this person who's incredible. And then you're just like, you're just doing maybe what you think. And like, are we doing it right? It's a lot like I'm imagining Mary and Joseph, like they're entrusted with this really important thing and they get this far and then they have to lay him down in a barn and they're thinking, did we do it right? Did we get off track? Did I drop the ball somewhere? I don't know. Here's my favorite part of both of these stories. The part where God shows up. For those of you who are in a moment of uncertainty, I'm telling you these as a hope. Because though they might have felt really off track, we know now that Mary and Joseph were exactly where they should have been. There was a history leading up to this moment, all the way back in Micah, where the prophet writes, "But you, O Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you, Bethlehem," right where they are, "will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." As unsure as Mary and Joseph were, they were actually right on track, right where they needed to be. God had gone before them. God had gone after them. God had brought them to the exact right place at the exact right time, even though it would have felt, I think, really uncertain. That same week that we sent that letter and the agency told me she hasn't responded, it was my birthday. And my friends who had been the friends, you know, the ones that had walked with us through many years of our marriage, of our struggle with infertility, these are the friends who were at the hospital when Dax was born. We were at the hospital when Dax was born. These are the friends that held him first. Those friends asked me, can we take you out to dinner for your birthday? And I was like, sure. And so they said, pick a restaurant. So I picked a random restaurant. Cannot be more clear. Random restaurant. Y'all, this is my best story, so just buckle up. We sit at our booth. We're talking. Our server comes up to the table. Our server is Dax's birth mom. We look at each other. And we just both start crying. My friends are going, what is happening? I lean across the table. I would say I lunge. I lay across the table. I did not know you worked here, because that's so creepy. I just sent her a letter. I did not know you worked here. You do not need to serve this table. And she like, it's okay. I can do this. What do you all want to drink? As she walked away, she said, you can tell them. And so I told my friends, we're all weeping. I also texted Phil. I said, you are not going to believe what's happening. What do I do? And he said, tip really well. So I leaned across the table to my friend Tara, and I was like, I'm sorry, but you have to buy my meal. There's no weird way to do this. Like, too much is weird, too little is weird. You have to buy my food. So she made sure, like, when his biological mom came back, she was like, oh, and I got her. It's her birthday. I got her. But at the end of the meal, she still handed me a folder. And so I opened it up and there was a note. And she said, I've been praying about your letter. Clearly this is God. Here's my phone number. I'd love to be with him. I'd love to meet him. Sometimes we wonder if we're off track. Adoption is really complicated. Transracial adoption is really complicated. We're not doing it perfect. But sometimes I wonder, God, was this your plan? And then I remember that story and I think, yeah, I think it was. I think God has gone ahead of Dax. I think God has gone behind Dax and us. Wherever you are, I'm telling you this story because I think God has gone ahead of you. I think wherever you are today, you're surrounded. It's very possible you are right where you need to be. About 1,000 years before Mary and Joseph walked into Bethlehem, a woman named Naomi was returning home to Bethlehem with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Naomi hasn't been back to Bethlehem since she left with her new husband years before, full of promise, newly married. They set out together. They had 2 sons. Her sons got married. And then over the course of about 10 years, her husband died. Both of her sons died. Naomi doesn't know what to do. One of her daughter-in-laws leaves with her blessing to go start a new life, but one of them, Ruth, says, I'm not leaving you. You're all I have. And so Naomi and Ruth, grief-stricken and really with nothing. If you're a woman in that time who's not married, you have nothing. Come back to Bethlehem. Naomi's coming back home. The last time she was there, she had everything, and now she's coming back with nothing. We hear the story of her returning to Bethlehem in Ruth 19. When Naomi and Ruth came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? Naomi said to them, call me no longer Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? At this story in Bethlehem, the questions I would imagine are, how could God do this to me? How could this be the story that God is writing? And when did it all go wrong here? It started so good. I wonder for you, as you come today, what those stories are for you. When you wondered maybe the promise that you had held to wasn't true. When you felt like everything was lost except your shame and your fear and your grief and your emptiness. Phil and I tried to start a family for 5 years. And if infertility is any part of your story, I'm going to put this disclaimer right here. So stop the presses. Listen to me, everyone. Parenthood, and each of us as we get to it or don't, is deeply personal. Deeply personal. The feelings of grief and anger and everything else that come and go if you're trying to have a baby are really complicated, and there's no easy answers for those things. So I am not offering this story as a platitude to anyone, and don't you dare do it either. I'm offering this story because it's the closest I've ever come to Naomi's and Ruth's moment in Bethlehem. We went through lots of tests to figure out what was wrong and what was going on. And after one test in particular, which I will spare you the details of, so don't worry. All I'm going to tell you about it is that it was humiliating. And it wasn't just humiliating because it was actually just humiliating. I also had a panic attack on the table. Like, they called the two nurses in to hold my hands and breathe because I was freaking out. I got done with that test, a test that didn't even give us any new information, by the way. So it just felt awful, pointless. And I had to go and, you know when you have an x-ray and then they have those little tiny baby changing rooms? Like, give me some space. I just had a trauma, you know? But I'm like in a Superman phone booth or something. So I've just had a panic attack, hysterical. I'm sobbing. And then they're like, go get changed. And so I go into that little changing booth. And, you know, I am prone to drama. But this was not that. I have never felt anything like I felt in that moment. And I just fell down on my knees. And I was sobbing. And I felt more lost than I probably have ever felt. I think that that's probably the deepest moment of doubt I've ever had. Doubt that God loved me, doubt that the promise was true. And all I felt was the shame and the grief and the emptiness of that moment. I'm guessing whether the specifics of that story have happened to you or not, that you've had that moment too. I'm telling this story today because do you know what happened to Naomi and Ruth in Bethlehem? They got a part two. Bethlehem, it turns out, was exactly where they needed to be. Exactly when they needed to be there. Ruth married again. She had a son. Naomi held him in her arms. His name was Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And generations later, the great, 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 greats of Jesus. Naomi coming back to Bethlehem is what puts the lineage of Jesus in Bethlehem, which is what brings Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem in our Christmas story. We got a part two as well. We tried to get pregnant for 5 years, and once we decided to adopt, we got Dax in 5 months. They expedited everything about our adoption process. We mailed the last form in the day before Dax was born. And he's exactly right. He's our son. Question. Does a good ending erase the pain that came before it? No. Our shame, our grief, our emptiness, our doubt, our anger, they all have a place in the story. I think we hurt people. I think we hurt ourselves when we try to tell ourselves, like, but it'll all work out. Yeah, it did all work out. And that 5 years was really hard. It doesn't get written out, but it's not the end. Love is the end. I don't know why bad things happen to people God loves, but I know that God loves. That as we consider this moment in Bethlehem, what we're considering is the grace, the truth, that we have a God who loves us. We have a God who has not lost us for a second. And that we have a story to tell. I love stories because stories remind us that the moment we're in is not isolated. We are wrapped in context. that things from our past that we thought were past might just come back to lead us to our beautiful future. That this moment that feels like death and pain and shame, that all might be true, but it is not the end. It is not. Stories remind us that the shepherds might yet be on their way. The good news is still coming if we're not holding it right now. Stories remind us that we were never lost, that we were exactly right on track, even when we didn't know it. And actually, that's the best part. Stories remind us that a part two is possible, that we were loved all along, that there is life and grace and hope and healing. I'm going to tell you one more story about Dax. Band, I'm almost done. Sorry, I didn't tell them when my sermon was going to end, so this is me awkwardly doing that now. My son, he's my favorite. I wish you all just could hang out with him all the time. You wish that too, even though you don't know. He got in a really, really bad accident this spring, and he has some scars from it. It was pretty dramatic for all of us. I started writing that story, and I went, nope, not yet. We'll come back in 5 years. He was laying in bed one night, and he gets very profound at night when he's trying to avoid bedtime. And he was looking at his scars on his torso, and his face got pretty serious. And so I said, oh, buddy, are you thinking about your surgery? Are you thinking about your accident? And he looked at me and he said, I'm thinking about how I healed. We need our stories. We need to tell each other our stories of when we healed, of when God came, of what God is doing. Will you take these blankets with you? Will you wrap up in them? Maybe make it a practice to ask each other, what is God up to with you? What is your best story? Tell them. Tell about your healing. Tell about your hope. Tell about your love. Amen.